Welcome to All Well Stands Back to the Basics radio program. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can find all these shows that you hear up on allwellstand.org on podcast. You just click on the podcast there on the main page. They're all there. So if you miss a week, or sometimes there might be a couple weeks where they're ahead on the website, you can check them out there. Or, you know, you only catch part of the show. It's a great resource. Plus, you can tell other people about it, and they can also listen to the show. So, in the last show, we went over and we spoke about hell. I spoke about the rich man who, by the way, is still there. But, so, we're going to talk about that again. Except this time, we're going to talk about it in a different way. And we're really going to focus mainly on one passage of Scripture. We're going to focus on the Great White Throne Judgment. This is something that happens, you could say, after the end of the realm, as it is right now. But at that point, as it says in Daniel 12:2, here's the people, everyone who has died, and everyone who did not accept a free gift of salvation. There's a judgment for believers too. It's not the purpose of this radio program, but it's a judgment seat of Christ. And where all of our works, like this work of doing this radio show, will be tested by fire. And whatever remains will have been actually proper work, and whatever gets burned up will have been lost. That's a totally different topic. But what we're going to talk about is, we're going to talk about, just as there's two separate judgments, the vast majority of people that have lived throughout all time and who are alive now are unfortunately going to end up at the Great White Throne Judgment. So, let's just go over that real quick. Let's take a look here, because if we go at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, let's start there. Enter by the narrow gate, which is only, by the way, take a look at John 14:6, through Jesus Christ. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many entering in through it. Because narrow is the gate, and distressing is the way which leads unto life, and there are few who find it. I think for the purpose of this program, that's probably suffice to go. And, in other words, few who find it. There are so many different beliefs, but it's what God actually says is what matters. What our Creator actually says is what matters. Because it's Him who you, are going to stand before. If you were to go to All Well Stands website, and you look at the, I have like a banner up on the page, and I made that a long time ago. I think maybe I improved it briefly. But if you look in there, the main verse is Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And you can take a look at Romans 14:12, and then I reference Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, which we're going to go over that part of that passage, or that whole passage here, in a minute. That is what All Well Stand means. I remember thinking about this. It's been a long time. I thought that God wanted me to do something. And I remember, it was 2013. And it didn't take much. Like, okay, I want to have some sort of website, some sort of, what do I call it? And it just, All Well Stand. I mean, there you go. And it's never been that popular. I mean, I've had opportunities, but I don't think it's opportunities that God wanted me to take. I'd still get opportunities, but it's God who really is the one that directs this ministry. I'm just a worker for this ministry. It's not mine. But we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about books. Books are a funny thing. as we hit the, especially in the United States. I mean, I was at the library the other day, and they still have books, but I track down books. I have two kids at home. I have a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old. They're both homeschooled. And so I try to find books. And I'll tell you, classics. And I let him read a little bit of classics. Well, especially the 12-year-old now. He's, I want to say that I, you know, I'm not perfect, I'm sure, with raising these children. But I try. I try to do things with them, right, so that they know, truly know God. And I have a 12-year-old that shows and has shown for many years, for many, many years. In fact, for the first time ever, he just went to camp, Bible camp. And, you know, so there's his time to shine and, you know, what you gonna do. And, you know, I knew a couple pastors who work at the camp, and yeah, he did real well. And memorized 46 Bible verses during the time they were there. He got his reward for that. First place. That's great. Now I know when I give him a verse doing homeschool that doesn't seem to get memorized in that week. It seems to take more like 3 weeks or so. Probably my fault for not following up as much as I should. Forgetting. I could give him 10 a week, and I guess he could memorize them. Just have to have a ribbon to give him. But the problem is, there's other books. So, there's these books, you know, they make stuff hard to find. They're censoring everything, changing everything. It's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. I'll stay away from the digital. I mean, I gotta have the hard copy, too. Because other stuff can change. But what you need to be concerned about is books not written by men, you know. And maybe this isn't a great book. Right now it's reading Three Musketeers, I think it's by Dumas. I don't think I've ever read that. He has the unabridged version. But, you know, there's a few classics I let him read. And that was one of them. Kind of hard to find, unabridged. But let's talk about God's books. Men can write books and they can be great. They can be neutral, you know, not like good or bad. Works, literal works of art. But the books and what God writes in his books, none of that matters. You know, well, why do I, what do you mean God writes books? Well, maybe he doesn't write them, but it's written. Somebody's writing these books for God and he's going to use them. And when you stand before God, he's going to open a book. And you're like, no, I don't think he's going to use an iMac because the Bible says he's going to open a book. If you think about it, the Mac has a picture of an apple referencing Genesis chapter 3, even though the apple is, the Bible doesn't say what the fruit is, of taking a bite out of the forbidden fruit. Wow. Let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. In him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for who? You. You. Well, let's continue on verse 12. This is the verse that's been on the banner since All Will Stand started. It's this verse. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. I'm going to stop right there before I continue on it. You know one day you're going to die. Sure, I understand that some people have religious beliefs that they're going to be reincarnated. In fact, the man I had contact with briefly a while ago, a gentleman who asked a question, from the country he's in, if you're listening to us, I know that's what they teach. Well, the problem is, that's not what the Bible teaches. So either the Bible is true, or it's not. And if it's true, you have a serious problem. Now, for those who just know you're going to die and don't really know what's going to happen, well, Here, I'm telling you. Without Christ, without repenting towards God, and by faith believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Take a look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Take a look at Luke 13, 3. Take a look at Acts 20, 21. Take a look at Acts 17, verse 30 through 31. Acts 2, 38. John 3, 6. I think I already said John 3, 16. Maybe not. Take a look at Romans 3, 23. Take a look at Romans 6, 23. Take a look at the website. Click on the salvation link. Problem is, one day you're going to die. And at some point after that, whether you are small. Okay, I love watching videos of this guy who travels. Not saying this guy's moral, but he goes to places that are dangerous. I'm kind of crazy. I would go to these places. I'll just toss out a story here. You know, stories are interesting, right? So, I won't give you the whole story. I'll just give you a tidbit. So when my son was 2, big old smile on his face. We're in the middle of the desert in some, I can only call it a hellscape. It's like no, not even cactuses. Standing on the side of a road at a checkpoint in Mexico. And my son is standing next to a Federale holding a M16 with the biggest smile on his face, not even blinking. So yeah. I understand those who aren't well off. But I've also worked for a lot of great people. So I get that side too. As a servant. Offering some sort of service. I used to do more residential work when I was much younger. So I'd be around people. Sometimes I had a couple clients over the years who weren't just rich. They were, you know, when you got a gigantic yacht, tons of real estate down in Miami, only turkey farm, and you're paying me and my wife to pluck dead petals off of your flowers. Beautiful flower garden. 12 hours a week each. Wasn't high pay. It was $5 an hour back in the 90s. Still, paying 12 hours a week, you know. So 24 hours between both of us. It was our second job. Taking all the debt off and do a little bit of thing just with flowers because there's garden shows. Yeah, you got money. Or when I go to a different house and we used to own a pooper scooper, picking up dog poop. We didn't have a lot of customers, but you got friends over and you got Secret Service type people outside with wires in their ear all throughout the yard because there's other kids there from, well, who knows what. They don't tell us. And I don't want to give away any of these people, so I won't give any more details. But there's been time and time here and there. We've worked for what would be considered great, and in the Bible, the great, small and great. There's people who are famous. Not just the United States. Well, they tend to be famous. Sometimes in the United States, around the world, if you're famous here. But in your country, there's going to be people who are great. Great military leaders. Great religious leaders. Great political leaders. Great business leaders. And there's going to be people picking through rubbish. And yeah, this guy, I like watching his videos. He's sometimes in Africa and he's in dangerous places. I'd be right there with him. And just trying to see, like, what it's like. Like, what's it really like here? Let's give some insight. Let me interview these people on the street. And, you know, I would be one to say, you know, as the Lord leads, let me tell you the truth. I've seen it in one of the videos where there was a guy. He was a cripple, but he had this big old loudspeaker. And, boy, I wish I could remember the country. Okay, it was Gambia. And he's preaching. And he's reading the Bible and preaching, warning people over his loudspeaker, just on the ground. He can't even walk, just warning people. It was great. But here you are. That will be you one day. Whether you're listening to us and you're one of the great. And we know most people, we're going to be the small people. I'm not great, but I'm not going to complain. God provides everything that's needed. I have no complaints. You know. But one day, you're going to stand before God. Let's continue on verse 12, Revelation chapter 20. And books were opened. Let's stop there. Books. Bible doesn't say how many, but books are opened. Well, did you know God's keeping tabs on your life? Your Creator is having jotted down, however that works, everything that you do. Oh, you can only hope. You can only hope it's a scale, right? A scale. This is what most people think if they contemplate this, if they get this far, theologically, right? They get to this point and they say, okay, here, I did this, this, and this. I can pick up this. Oh, yeah, when I was younger, I did that. Not good. But I did this, I did this, I did this. Oh, this is good stuff. And I think it weighs. It's clearly, it's more. We're going to hope, right? We're not going to be like, oh, maybe I need to go feed somebody else. Or maybe I need to go help out this person because I don't know if it's quite enough. Well, we're going to, let me put the idea to rest right here on the spot. And I'm going to continue verse 12. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, you remember that. Well, maybe you'll forget before I get to my point. Let me just skip forward to verse 15, and then we'll go back to 12. And anyone, that includes you, that includes me, that includes anyone, small and great, not found written in the book of life was cast into lake of fire. Okay, lake of fire. Let's go back another verse. We're going to backwards this. Verse 14. And death in Hades, which is another word for hell, Hades, were cast into lake of fire. This is the second death. Well, you see, there's a new heaven and a new earth. Somewhere in the middle of this planet, somewhere inside the earth, maybe it's not the exact middle. There's actually a door. There's keys. Christ has them. To hell. Somewhere there's actually hell is somewhere inside the earth. And it enlarges itself because there's more people going there than should be. It's not that God wishes this would happen. The Bible's quite clear. God's merciful. He's being patient. He doesn't want people to go there. But the point is, if you die, that's a cutoff line. There's not people standing before God who are alive. We're going to go backwards again. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered the dead who were in them. And they would judge each one according to their works. So there's already people. We went over last week, the rich man. He'd be one of the greats, maybe a local great. Maybe he wasn't that rich, maybe he was filthy rich. Maybe he was known throughout the country, or maybe he was just known throughout the town. Now, let's go back to talking about those books. This is why Christ died on the cross for your sins. Yes, he rose again from the dead. But this is why God sent him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Christ paid that penalty if you choose to accept it. He took what was written in the books, which we're going to talk about. And for those who truly repent towards God, no longer want to do those things. Want to do a 180. and accept the free gift of salvation, as the Bible quite clearly says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Their name becomes written in the book of life. And yes, they're judged because they're still not perfect at the judgment seat of Christ. But this stuff written in these books, it's erased. It's gone. Their name's in the book of life. These people at the great white throne judgment, they're doomed. Now, you see, God's not going to make a mistake. As the Bible talks about the great white throne judgment, you know, it mentions anyone not found written in the book of life. There's going to be certainty that there's not one person standing in the one line in all of history that will be the longest line ever. And the one where you standing in that line will be more than happy to let the person behind you go in front of you over and over and over again until you're the last one there. Because it has the most hopeless line. This ain't a line to get some food. You know, sometimes there's a really good restaurant. I haven't been to one like this in a long time. But there was one when I lived in Orlando, Florida, when I was young. It was actually in Altamont Springs. And my wife and I, we really liked it. I think we went there 3 times probably while we lived down there. And there would always be a line. And back then, this is way old. So I wasn't used to it. They give you like one of these little things that would like basically a pager. And when your table is ready, you know, you'd go inside. Your finger would go off. And, you know, we'd wait like 45 minutes to get a table. Probably another 45 minutes to get our food. And, you know, and that was a long time ago. But, you know, this isn't like that. There, I mean, if somebody had said, hey, you want to go in here, take my pager. I got here a half hour ago. Just give your pager back to them, cancel it, because I can't wait any longer. I'm going. I'm great. You know, awesome. Yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell you the worst line ever. And I know this show is published and broadcast throughout Africa, but I know some people listen to it in the United States. So, talk about living places. Lived in Mesa, Arizona for a brief time when my wife and I were young. We lived there. And we had to get Arizona driver's license, you know, stuff for our vehicle plate, that type of stuff. And that was the longest line, I think, to this day, and I was young, that I had ever waited in. It took about 4 hours. I took a number, and I can't remember. It had all these different letters. It was, like, mind-boggling. There was a guy outside of a hot dog cart selling hot dogs, making money because the line was so long. Because, you know, you go there, and you start to get hungry. You're not, you know, you're from out of state. You're not used to, you know, 4 hours. I hope they have it down packed so it's not that long. But, you know, when it comes to this line, if it takes 1,000 years before you individually, because the Bible clearly says so, and that's the truth, are going to stand before God, your creator, then so be it. Now let's go ahead and finish up verse 12. Because we're going to go back to those books. Remember, it says in books were opened. Finish up the last part of that verse. And the dead were judged according to their works out of the things which were written in the books. And no, this ain't no scale. Every single wrong thought, action that you have ever done, word that you have ever said, that Christ paid the penalty for, should you choose to accept it. Because there's no way, there's no amount, the true gospel, it has nothing to do with works. You could stop what you're doing and realize you're bad. Dedicate yourself to God, feeding the hungry, helping the maimed. You could do the best works from this day forward unto the very day you die doing good works. And it wouldn't erase one single thing written in these books about you. It's a good thing to do. Only Christ could pay the penalty. That's why God had to send him. Only Christ. God sent him for you. Now, you can laugh. You can scoff. You can turn this off and go about your business. But I tell you, to those who pay attention, this is not a joke. Every single bad word, bad thought, bad action, evil deed that you have ever done from when you were a child until the day you die, God has recorded. However it's written, whoever does the writing, whether it's an angel, whether it's God himself, the Bible doesn't say how it's put in there. But it does say it's written. Past tense. This is recorded. It's in these books. You might get away with stuff that people don't catch you. They don't know that you did something wrong. You might do things that are wrong that are not illegal. Maybe you're just not a nice guy or not a nice girl. You're just bad. But you're not doing stuff illegal. Maybe you don't do anything that bad. Maybe you're nice and you do help out and you do stuff and you think, well, I don't have a whole bunch. So whatever God has on me, yes, I've told a couple lies, I've thought a couple bad thoughts, but you know what? I've never done this, or this, never touched this, or this, never said this, and this. Other than that, I've done it. Well, you can choose to believe what God's Word said, which clearly is if your name's not written in the Book of Life, you'll be cast into a lake of fire. But I will give you this. You can also go to Revelation 21:8, probably turn a page, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominables, murderers, prostitutes, sorcerers, idolaters. Oh, man. I'm going to stop there. Interject. Could you imagine? All these people, God's listing out. Oh, wait. There's more. Let me continue. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We talked about Hebrews 9:27, how men, it's appointed to them once to die, and then afterwards, okay? Well, this is the afterwards, what happens? Well, great white throne judgment, the second half. For those who are not saved, eternal life for those who are, whose names are written in the Book of Life. All liars. Ever told a lie? Oh, that's not fair. I'm not the one who makes the rules. You see, quite clearly, God is always fair. That is why he sent his son, essentially, because God is triune. He died on the cross for our sins. God the Son. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That is love. That is a loving God. However, our God is also just, and therefore, there is a penalty to pay. He has offered you a solution. You don't have to go in, end up in this line after you're dead, whenever that may be, and stand before God, because it will happen, and be judged. And your name's not written in the Book of Life, so there's no hope for you. There are different levels of hell. That's a whole other topic. But hell is still hell. It's a horrific place that you, in 2 seconds of being there, would wish that you would have taken this show very seriously and sought God. Fortunately, we're out of time. You can visit allwillstand.org and you can go ahead and click on the salvation link for more information. Listen to what's up there on the podcast. Until next time, have a great week.